Oh, you got that sexy beast. You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness monster? Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's a Wendigo. Hey, come on after me. Who did say fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a Bigfoot dick, you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and a Loch Ness monster, pussy. Baby, sexy beast.
Hello, and welcome to Sexy Beast, your foray into the menagerie of the silver screen. Haven't thought of a new thing to say.
Yeah.
welcome to Sexy Beasts, or what we're calling this, Silver Scream Queens. Where we are taking all of the movie monsters, well, 32 of the best ranked movie monsters.
That's pretty funny that it's that name rolls off the tongue.
It does.
The Silver Screen Scream Queens.
Tom Crean. Imagine if Tom Crean, the explorer, was Tom Green. My bum is on the Arctic. No, that's Shackleton. What did Tom Crean do again? Proud Irishman. This is a show where we are, obviously, we normally rank and review monsters, creatures, cryptids, ethereal things that go bump in the night or either or. But this case, what we're doing, Jago, is to celebrate the month of October, our favorite month, my birthday month.
Yeah. What age are you?
33.
Whoa, it's when you're in England and people keep asking you to say 33.
It's horrible. Awful bullying. But we love Halloween. So what we've decided to do is celebrate this by looking at the movie monsters and who is the best one. We've already had round one. Quick recap?
Yeah, fire away, Tony.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me. I don't remember who won these. Okay, number one we had The Martians versus the Graboids. The Graboids made it through. We had Bram Stoker's Dracula, the one with the bum head, versus Zombies from Night of the Living Dead. Dracula made it through. We had The Scorpion King, which we changed to The Blair Witch versus Jack Frost, and The Blair Witch went through. Yeah. We had The Aliens from Independence Day versus King Kong, and King Kong went through.
Yeah.
Okay. We had The Creature from the Black Lagoon and the Brundlefly.
That was a bit of an upset, I thought.
A very exciting upset and a very welcome. I welcome the Brundlefly in the pantheon of the great movie monsters.
Yeah.
So I was delighted to give him the merit there. What the hell was that?
I don't know. Oh, spooky.
What spooky thing happened?
Oh, our headsets were started picking up radio or something like that, and there was whispering going on. Yeah, that was scary.
It's scary. Why is it whenever you're talking about ghosts, they show up?
It's like
my ears are burning.
My ears.
If I had them anymore.
I read this tweet and it's actually made me laugh. And I don't know, because it's one of those tweets where you read it and it's literally like two sentences, but it just gets into your head and then you come up with your own ideas. So it like sort of starts your imagination. It's like, why are all ghosts from like the 1800s? Why isn't there like ghosts from like 2017 just walking around shouting, it's Britney, bitch?
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I remembered about Kevin Federline? Popo Zow.
Well, yeah.
Remember him?
What happened? He was Britney Spears. Oh, it's a very sad story. I didn't really realize the whole fucking thing about Britney Spears. You know, the way that like she's not in control of anything.
Mm.
Like her dad, she's a ward of her dad, and her dad controls all her business decisions and stuff. And there was a lot of like,
She should have never shaved her head.
They were saying like she started doing that stuff to try and break out this contract her dad has over her, like in the
really
court. So.
I don't know the ins and outs. What
so
do you
basically
know?
Her dad, she
I was just being facetious about the shaved hair.
This could be totally just me just bits and pieces but putting it together. So she had an issues, mental issues or something like that, and her dad went to the courts and said she's not in a fit state to control any part of her life. So he controls all her business decisions, all her social media, all her medicine. Yeah, all her medicine. So he tells her what medicine, and apparently he like pumps her full of like sedatives and stuff to try and keep her think like she's in control of all of his money, or she's in control of all her money and stuff.
Jesus.
Happened recently where they went to courts and it's been broken.
Jamie Lynn Spears has partial control now.
Yeah, exactly. So Jamie Lynn Spears took it off, but we don't know. I don't know if Jamie Lynn Spears is in on it, like her trying to take over from her dad. But it's really sad, like, and a lot of people were saying like everyone was laughing like her dancing TikTok she was doing, but like maybe it was just like a way of protest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was a weird thing I saw her where she just kept walking out wearing the same outfit. as a fashion show. Yeah. But she kept walking out like it was a new outfit. It didn't look great.
Sounds what you said. Like, we all laugh, but then we look at get the glimpse behind the curtain and we're just like, oh.
Or, do you know what's mad? She's 36.
No way. She's only like 4 years older than me.
Yeah, she always was. Man. Hang on. Britney Spears' age.
She is not. She's 40-something.
No, she's not. She's 38.
6 years older than me.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
And think about, she's 38, but she belongs to me. And I like her. I like her.
Yeah.
But she is in my head as a washed up person. And as an old washed up person.
That's so
mad. She is closer to me. She's closer to like, not Dolly Parton, because Dolly Parton's not washed up. But like, you know, what's like an old washed up woman?
Your one from Blade Runner.
Oh.
Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
I feel bad for
him. Did you hear about him with the like, she auditioned for Catwoman and didn't get it, and then she kept turning up on set dressed as Catwoman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit bad, yeah. She shouldn't be laughing at that.
No, she was definitely, she was probably a better Tim Burton fit than Michelle Pfeiffer, but you saw what Michelle Pfeiffer did. She fucking knocked it out of the park. She was an actual cat. But we're not talking about that right now. I can't believe she's 38, though. Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, who else did we have? We had Pennywise versus the Gremlins.
Oh, yeah, they were both me.
They were both you.
I think the Gremlins won.
I think the Gremlins won.
Shit, like, we literally only recorded this.
Did the Gremlins win? That seems weird. Pennywise is, like, the ultimate.
We'll record when we're editing it. We'll go back.
We don't even need to talk about that yet.
Well, you can just edit me in saying who won.
Right? Oh, no, it was the Gremlins because it was going to be... hang on. There was also Godzilla versus Marshmallow Man. Godzilla is through against the Brundlefly.
Yeah.
And then it was going to be the Gremlins and Pennywise. I think it was the Gremlins because it was going to be then Regan from The Exorcist versus the Rancor. And I think Rancor made it through?
Yeah, Rancor made it through, yeah.
And it was Rancor versus the Gremlins?
Yeah, we should just edit this in.
No.
No. Tony, you're such a fucking lazy editor. Should we get Jordan to do it?
Yeah.
Do you want to get Jordan to do it? He's doing nothing.
He's sick. He's doing videos for me. But yeah, maybe we'll ask. He'll know by now, though, won't he?
Yeah. I was going to say, if you haven't checked out Tony's British Bake Off, Great British Bake Off videos, they're actually pretty funny, and they're edited by our friend Jordan, who adds a little
You know, Jordan's been on his podcast many times.
Oh, he has, yeah. He did the Cork live show when my lung was in my mouth.
That was weird. Like, your tongue was like your lung.
Actually was joking.
How are you feeling now, by the way?
Yeah, I was actually talking to Jordan about this today. Like, it's so fucking mad that this time last year I had a tube in my chest.
Insane.
And I had pain up until about 2 months ago. Like, I'd wake up and I'd feel a bit tight, but since about 2 months ago it's gone.
Imagine you'd gotten the COVID back then.
Yeah, no, but the thing I looked up on Reddit because everyone on Reddit has a fucking post about it,
yes.
or a subreddit about something. And there's a subreddit for people with collapsed lungs, and
what's it called? R-Wheeze?
R-Wheezy. No, it's just me talking to loads of Lil Wayne fans.
Are you sure you don't have a collapsed lung?
Yeah, do you smoke loads of weed? Do you get a collapsed lung after it? Drinking the Sirs or whatever it's called. No, but I asked it, and then this doctor got involved and wrote back to me. I was like, oh, what happens if I get COVID now and I have a bit of a dodgy lung? He's like, if you think of it, like, your lungs are like a bunch of grapes wrapped in a plastic bag, wrapped in like another plastic bag, wrapped in a third. What happens is your outside plastic bag popped, but COVID affects the grapes. So mine's more structurally rather than...
Was this like a guy who was like really hungry and be like, stop asking me this question, I really just want to eat my
grapes? Yeah, that's what he said.
I'm just staring at his grapes, staring at his dinner. It's kind of like bacon. Like, what they get is the eggs, but the bacon's still delicious and you're still there.
It's still crispy and I just want to eat a piece. Yeah, so lung's fine.
That's great.
Jordan, Great British Bake Off, very funny with Tony. Would it be over by the time? No.
No, it'll be on it for 10 weeks. Too fucking long. There's too much of me this week, Jago. This week you're getting me to hear... You're getting my podcast tomorrow, you're getting the Bake Off, and you're getting the Patreon. It's too much.
I'm not on your Patreon, sorry, man.
I'll send you whatever MP3s you want. I just did Hocus Pocus if you want to hear that.
You can't say that, because then people will be like, oh, you did it for Jago, why don't you do it for...
Well, look, I won't... Yeah, you have to be a patron.
No, you have to do it for me live. bring it to my house.
Oh, yeah, I'll do it, yeah. Jago, before we get into this, because we are now in the middle of the spooky season, it is now the 12th of October. on the 12th day of Halloween, my true love came to me.
One bunch of herpes.
Is there anything? Oh my God.
Two bunch of babies. Three diamond geese. Cut that out, honey, please.
Never. Please. I'm going to make it even louder.
I hate the fact that you were editing this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in control. Anyway.
Wanker. I'm a wanker. I'm Jiggle. I'm a wanker. I was going to say.
Oh. Give him back your keys, you.
Give him back the keys, you rancor. Listen, it's the 12th day of Halloween. We're not going trick-or-treating. We can't go outside. Mm. Okay. What are you watching right now?
Oh, that's pretty funny you should say that, because I'm actually... I have a list of...
Clever.
Horror movies that we're going to watch over this period of October we're in. Me and my girlfriend and some of our friends, we're doing like compiling a list. And there's going to be like, not you, there is going to be a few usual fares in it. We're trying to watch all of the Hellraisers. There's 9 of them.
Oh, shit.
And we're watching.
I hate them.
First one's unreal. A fucking best one movie I've ever seen. I love it so much. Well, not best movie I've ever seen. Mary loves it so much. She has a pillow embroidered in our bedroom and it's Pinhead and it says, "Do I look like someone who would believe in God?" Like embroidered on it.
That's awesome.
It's really good. I'll put it up on our socials. But
no, you won't. We never do.
No, we never do. And then, so we're watching all them, all the things, prequel, the remake, and
all the things.
The Thing, yeah.
There's a prequel to The Thing.
Yeah. Did you never see that? Wait, you're one from Ramona Flowers from.
Is there like a new movie?
Yeah, this came out like about 6-7 years ago.
What's it called?
The Thing. I think they just called it The Thing again.
Really?
So this is...
Soft reboot, was it going
to
be?
No, I don't know. I think they tried to make it out. But so basically, Elizabeth Winstead, that's her name. She... Yep.
She stole Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor? Oh, yeah, shit, do you remember?
Yeah, she stole him.
She, Elizabeth Winstead...
That's his wife plays, and kids.
plays a doctor who accompanies the Norwegian team to the North Pole, or the Antarctic, to study. And then... They're the team that arrived before MacReady and Child.
So they all die?
Yeah. Well,
don't tell me. Don't look me in the eyes.
But The Thing, and then also, you ever see the House movies?
What?
They're called House, right? And they're just, the first one started off as like a really schlocky B movie horror. It was terrible, but everyone laughed at it and loved it. So what they did is they ramped up the comedy. So like, I think they go up to House 7 or something like that. It's called House. Or I think it's called something different in different areas. I think in England it's called something different. But House 4 has the funniest, House 4 has the funniest scene ever, where a mom orders a pizza and then the pizza man comes and sings a song to her. And then she takes a pizza and then the pizza starts singing the song to her. And it's clearly some guy with like melted cheese on his face.
Oh, awesome.
Putting his head through a thing. And it's like, whenever I'm feeling a bit blue, I'll just play it, and then like people, you can hear from the room, is like he's singing, "I'm the pizza man." It's so fucking good.
When, what year, 80s?
Oh, I think late 80s, early 90s.
And
then Monster Squad.
Not seen it.
Classic.
I will. And
Wolfman's Got Nards.
I'm gonna have to watch it. Yeah. It's been a week and I still haven't watched it.
What's your list of movies?
Well, my wife's soft as shit. She won't watch anything scary. Like she couldn't watch even watch the BFG.
I used to be scared of BFG. Yeah, something weird about it.
She was terrified of BFG. So, like, I want to get her. I want to show her The Witch because I think it's fucking a feminist pride piece. And I think she'd lap it up.
She'd love it.
But she won't watch that. Is The Lighthouse scary?
I think it's one of the most best acted. You can't really describe. There is moments where it's just like, okay, this is a horror. And there's moments like, okay, this is a thriller. And then there's moments like, oh, this is just a mind fuck altogether. But like,
I'll watch it either way.
Robert Eggers, classic. I love him. Did you ever see, what's the name of the one? Two Men in the Field The Field or something like that.
No, I've not seen it.
It's really good. It's his first sort of foray. It's basically loads of people from, League of Gentlemen are in it as well.
Oh, really?
Well, I think two people in it. But you should also check out, why don't you get her watch The Midsummer and just like, because it starts off so just about depression.
And Midsummer's not even like that scary. I think she might dig it.
Scream and shit.
I'd rewatch it. I loved it.
Hereditary.
I loved Hereditary as well. Like I know they have that kind of like people wince at that kind of like, what is it, refined horror. That's what they call it. Like all those A24 horror movies. But I like them. I think they're great.
people are always like, oh, movies are just
elevated
so,
horror.
Yeah, elevated. Some dumb. I hate that term.
But I like trashy horror. I don't like any kind of Gorno. Mm. I don't like any of the Saws, really. I don't mind them.
Do you remember a Serbian film came out and just like, oh, yeah, fucking.
I watched that.
It's just like,
I wasn't happy.
Yeah, but people are always like, oh, movies are so scary these days. It's like, back in the 80s, or violent these days, back in the 80s, they were fucking thriller killer movies. And it was just so, I'm excited to just watch so many horror movies, and I love that Netflix just literally changes to all horror movies. That, like, I think it happens. It happened on the first.
Maybe. I looked yesterday. There was dog shit selection of horror.
Horror. Yeah, there was only about like 12 of them or something. What's your movies that you're going to be watching?
I'll rewatch The Thing because I love The Thing. I'll watch any kind of sci-fi horrors, but I don't really consider them Halloween-y. I want The Devil. Like, I used to just be terrified of The Devil. I would just watch, like, End of Days and think that's a great Halloween film.
And
Stigmata. Both which feature Gabriel Byrne. So, any film about The Devil with Gabriel Byrne, I'll watch. I haven't really seen any of the Hellraisers. I don't like any of that kind of twisted, kind of torture-y kind of stuff. Mm. You know? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I can watch them again now that I'm not as afraid and look at the practical effects. I mean, the scariest film of all time is Fire in the Sky, but I can never watch that ever again.
Oh my God. Even today, that scene, the fucking
abduction scene.
Exactly.
We've talked about it multiple times in the podcast.
It's terrifying. And But you should check out Hellraiser. Like, the first Hellraiser, I remember watching that when I was way too young.
Mm.
Like, crazy too young. My dad used to do this thing where he used to, there used to be movies on Channel 4 and these would be like always, not horror movies, but they could be The Predator or Alien and stuff like that. He used to watch them and then he'd fast forward, like record over the gory bits. So I saw The Predator and The Predator was only like about 20 minutes long. And I was just like, oh, that alien's gone. Where's it gone? He's exploded. So he's like explosions.
It's like 20 minutes, like CIA still pushing pencils and then he's taken off in the helicopter.
It's like, what's the explosion from? But I remember he recorded Hellraiser for me. And he had never seen it or never seen anything else. So he literally pressed record, went to bed or whatever.
Mm.
And the next day he did have to go. I think he was playing football or something dumb like that. And then he left it and I just watched it and I was just fucking so intrigued, so terrified. Mm. Must have been about 10 or 12. And I generally think that shaped my personality for a huge chunk. Maybe that's why I was little emo.
Maybe.
I was like, oh, I'm such a little Cenobite.
We should have called ourselves Cenobites back then. Well, look, well, let's maybe get into some of our selection. We are still in round one of the Silver Screen Stream of Queens. We've got 8 matches that have already happened. We've got 8 matches for here. So let's get into it. The first one we got here. The Werewolf from American Werewolf in London versus Medusa from Clash of the Titans.
Now, do you want to go first?
Who do I have?
You have the werewolf.
Okay. Hang on. Werewolf. Where are your wolf? werewolf.
If you say it one more time, you'll find it.
I don't know.
What, really?
I don't have any notes.
You remember the movie, don't you? Do you want to just bring up the wiki? Just cut this out, Tony. Do you want to just bring up the wiki and then I'll start Medusa and you just start writing shit and just active listen?
Sure.
While you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, What movie was that from? Wayne's World. He's like,
Yeah.
So, Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies growing up was Clash of the Titans.
Love it.
The original, the Harryhausen. What's his name?
Ray Harryhausen.
The fucking animation of that was terrifying. Like, it must have been made. It was made in, like, I have the time here. 1987, the year I was born. Woo-woo. It was so...
No, 87?
I think it was a bit younger than that, or younger or earlier than that. Maybe 70s.
No, it just looks like 81.
It was 81, sorry. My ones look like 7s. But terrifying. I used to be, because they have this shot of Medusa and they have the light just in her eyes and it sends shivers in her spine. Like, reading up on the Medusa, like, the story is so fucking grim. It, like, all of Greek mythology is pretty grim.
Mm.
But she was a priestess and she was raped by Poseidon. And Poseidon, as punishment for being raped,
Jesus.
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner?
sent her to Nutbush City. And, cursed her into being a creature of snakes, had snakes and wings.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Harryhausen.
Harryhausen he designed this creature to have like a snake legs and stuff like that. The eyesight that turns you into stone was always there.
Mm.
But he was the one who made it, because in the description...
How would you animate that? That is incredible.
It's absolutely crazy. Like the fighting scenes, and then Perseus comes and cuts her head off and uses her head to defeat the Kraken. And it's just one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. It's, to this day, like, I will watch that. The original, or not the original, the new one that came out was... It is good. Like, it's just a good little, as I said, like a fucking
Sam
action.
Worthington, lucky fucker.
He is... A great man, isn't he?
But like, I just think it's very lucky the fact that he's had Avatar, did a load of blockbusters off the back of that, hasn't really proven himself as an actual viable actor in anything really. He's good at doing the kind of hero bit,
the gruff, yeah,
you know, without being buff. And then disappears, and then because he's Jake Sully, he gets to come back for Avatar 2. Like, how does he just get to like pop up for the biggest films ever? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that must be so good to do. Imagine like he did one huge film and he could live off that film forever.
I mean, probably can.
I might try and do that. I might try and get to acting.
Yeah, is that what you do? Just try.
Just get into it, you know.
Suppose you weren't looking to get into Avatar. If you were looking to get into Avatar, that'd be a different story.
I'd say by the end of end of 2021, I could be in the movie.
Okay.
I would put money on that.
What? How big of a movie?
Limited release in Ireland.
Okay, great.
And at least one line.
Okay, great. I'd shake your hand if we were allowed.
Yeah, we're in different rooms.
Yeah, we
are. Perspects between us. But anyway, so Medusa sort of represents femininity in a way, or feminism in a way. Like, she was wronged by a man and she gets scorned for it, but then she uses the abilities that she was given to fight men and stuff like that. Like, I really like Medusa. It's in the movie.
And it's the whole thing, like, you can't, she's a scorned woman and you can't even look at her.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you'll turn to stone.
Yeah. She was also played by Uma Thurman in Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was, do you ever watch the movie Percy
Jackson
and the
good?
Lightning Thief? It's all right. I think I watched it. I went to the cinema to see it, and I think it was definitely for people a lot younger than me.
Mm.
I don't know why I went to see it, though. Was I on my own? Because that's fucking creepy.
Mm.
But it was good. Uma Thurman was very good as Medusa. You don't really know she's Medusa until you start seeing all the statues in her garden are just a bit too lifelike.
Oh,
stuff.
Very good.
But Medusa, that shot of Medusa with the light across her eyes and the
is that claymation or is that makeup, someone in costume?
No, that's all claymation.
That's claymation?
Yeah.
The eyes look incredible.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say claymation, stop motion.
Whatever.
Yeah. But the eyes are so incredible. Like, yeah, I'll have to look into that. Maybe the rest of it, and then they just
It's real like
superimpose.
That Afghani girl. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Just the intensity of the eyes. I think that, like...
Or is she Pakistani?
Afghani girl. Mm. I think that Medusa has to win this one. This is one I'm going to fucking stand up for.
Okay. Well, look. This is the werewolf, right?
Fuck.
I know, and this is the thing about this tournament, right? This is the werewolf, and I think, obviously, Teen Wolf is my favorite wolf man, but American Werewolf in London is the best. The, what's his fucking name? The fucking Rick Baker.
Yeah.
The Rick Baker special effects look still, like, I stand up and I point, like DiCaprio, even though he's sitting down in the meme. When I see it, it is absolutely incredible. I mean, I'm talking about A Werewolf in London, which I think is actually, which is the sort of horror comedy that is actual horror and actual comedy. Kind of like, that's the kind of caliber that I'm after. That's what Gremlins doesn't do for me. Tremors does a little bit where you're actually, but I think this is probably...
The scene where, like, where he goes into the cinema and he sees like the dead people who he's killed.
Mm.
That's a great scene. Like, it's just a bit like, sort of... Because usually with werewolf movies, it's like you kill someone, then that's them, they're gone now. But
yeah.
Sort of repercussions.
And torn to fucking shreds.
Yeah.
You know? And I also love I love that type of wolfman where he's a fucking proper, like, you know.
On all fours.
On all fours, bigger. I love that kind of wolfman where they're all of a sudden this, like, a 7-foot fucking jacked wolfman. Obviously, I do like the kind of, I don't know, was it Boris Karloff did the other werewolf?
Oh, yeah, the hairy
face. The kind of hair, you know, the kind of slick back and all that kind of look. I've always loved werewolves, Jake. I've always wanted to be. I was chatting when I was on those conspiracy guys talking about werewolves, right? We were talking about kind of the wolf and what the wolfman means as opposed to like the vampire or anything else. And the wolfman is kind of like, it's kind of like, let me fucking be feral. Go out and do fucking mad shit.
You're wild side without social constraints.
Exactly. And also be like, that was the cans. That was the werewolf. That was the, you know, whatever.
I'm the lad at the back of the bus playing the techno music for
once.
These are werewolves. No, but the Howling as well. I have to throw that in there. Mm. The Howling is... Did you ever see the transformation scene in The Howling?
Oh, the film The Howling? Yeah. No, I've never seen it.
It's fucking... It's so good. It's almost up there with American Werewolf. It's just like... It's very visceral. It's... Because usually in, I think it was before, I think these two movies came out sort of similar, I don't know the time frame, but before that, the transformation to werewolf was always like, oh, I'm a werewolf now. But this one was like, your body is metamorphosizing, your skin is ripping, your bones are elongating, you're growing a snout.
Yep.
And it's just, I just remember looking at it and being like, so, it was like, it's puberty.
Mm.
It's puberty, Dad.
It is puberty. Well, look. I mean, you know what werewolves can do. You know their powers. You know what they can do. You know the weakness. You know the silver bullet. We've talked about wolfmen on this podcast.
If you haven't listened to it, go back and check it out.
I actually, you know what I love as well. I need to rewatch fucking Wolf with Jack Nicholson.
Oh yeah,
such a fucking flick. That's such a great movie. James Spader, you know, and then he gets bitten later on. Look, that's all I have to say. You can't not have the fucking wolfman beat Medusa.
The two.
We're not making an argument here. I know that might have been the point.
You just shut me down there. But they're two huge things. Like, I think I come from a place where I think Medusa is great, but I'm also fucking such a werewolf connoisseur.
Well, look.
I have a tattoo of Medusa. So.
I know, you were just scratching it while you were talking about her.
Oh, that's weird.
That is weird.
I also have loads of tattoos of wolves, so I can't really...
You do.
Do
you know what I can give you Medusa.
I can't. I genuinely felt myself... Joey said that. Then when you said Wolfman, I forgot who I was against, and I was like, fuck, I wish I had got Wolfman. All right, Wolfman.
John Wolfman Jack.
Here to clean your gutters, John Wolfman.
Okay.
The Wolf Boy.
Congratulations, Wolfman, even though I didn't do any notes, but I thought I could just speak from experience.
And you were right, damn it.
I don't know, that was pretty shit. Anyway, the Wolfman will be up against either... The Terminator or Frankenstein's monster from Frankenstein.
Fuck, this is... They're both very good.
They're both very good.
Just for sake, I have the Terminator.
Okay, I've got Frankenstein.
Yeah. It's just the way I walk. I'm gonna go for Terminator, right? Now, okay. I specifically chose the T-800. Mm-hmm. Which is Arnold Schwarzenegger's brand. Mm-hmm. He's a cybernetic organism. You fucking look. Stop, will you? It's been a while.
But I could say anything. If there was a if you had to describe a human, you would say it's a bipedal. Like you would say like a bipedal mammal. Like you always go. I just find it funny how you always go for like the scientific thing first. It's never like conversationally, what would you think this thing would
be? No, but that's the thing. You need to break... What you do
that's
is...
That's our dynamic. That's our dynamic.
You give it the scientific razzle-dazzle, and then you humanize the creature. You humanize him. Okay. So he's a cybernetic organism covered with living tissue over a hyperalloy endoskeleton, right? He is the first successful infiltration unit that was created by Cyberdyne. It's changed in the new one, but it's called Skynet in the original. I'll stick with Skynet. So Skynet created this creature because the resistance, or this robot, because the resistance were too good at killing their normal robots, but this one was able to infiltrate and kill them easily. Mm-hmm. So he was sent back in time to kill the leader of the resistance in their time, which I think, what year was it? It was 2015 or something like that, 2010 or something, when the original movie came out.
It's
something mad like that.
You keep talking, I'll find it.
But so he goes back in time and to kill Sarah Connor. Now Sarah Connor is going to give birth to John Connor, who grows up to be the leader of the resistance. He can go back in time, but he can't go in time back in time with anything non-organic, so he always turns up naked and he's fucking ripped and unreal.
Oh yeah. 2029, we're 9 years away.
Oh, something mad like shit that's gonna, I guarantee, like those fucking
not far off it.
What are they called, those Boston Dynamic lads? Do you see they made this like this dog, this snake thing that can climb into any gap? It's like about this big. Sorry, I'm just giving this about 3 inches across and go into like,
kind of like a mug.
Yeah, about mug size and go mug into width. Like that small. Sorry, I'm very burpy today.
That's all right.
So anyway, Terminator is powered by a compact nuclear cell. But it is like the whole thing is about the futility of your destiny. And what's it? No fate is the thing that she comes up with. It's just the inevitability of dying, and there's no fact you can't change anything about your future. He's the perfect creature and the perfect killer. In the first one, and the second one, in the second one, they turn him into he is reprogrammed and sent back in time to protect John Connor, and he again fights against this liquid alloy called the T-1000 that can morph into different things. I think he's the perfect sort of anti-hero. Like he has his main mission, he was programmed to kill, but now he starts to learn. And I'm not going to go into the rest of them because there's so many fucking movies and they all turn out to be fucking mental. Do you know, I just found this the other day, there's a thing called the T-1000. It was just for the 3D show in Universal Studios.
Oh, really?
And it was a giant metallic spider. With its main body was made of like a hard alloy, but its arms and legs were made of that liquid alloy. So it was just like flopping around like it's terrifying. And it's like a 3D thing. But it's... The Terminator is just... what's the word? Like constant moving forward.
Unrelenting.
You know? Unrelenting. That's perfect. That's the perfect word for it. Like he gets shot, he gets run over, and he just keeps coming back. It
makes sense for him. It doesn't make sense for Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Like that, but it's that kind of like always walking. Like it's even like the, you know, Skinner after Bart, you know, literally walking under the water and
that's
still coming
like
up.
Exactly. So that's like, I think that joke is a combination of him, like Terminator when he just goes down. It's just that like, no matter how fast you run, how clever you are, this guy is going to get to you.
It's a genius move for a monster, like the robot. Like, it's a genius. Like Schwarzenegger all thought it was going to be a trashy horror film. Thought it was going to be a B-movie, The Terminator. Yeah. It sounds so naff, but it's embedded. It's an Austrian bodybuilder playing a robot trying to kill someone. But
like, was this his breakout role? But after, and then he became like a sort of.
He would have been already big. It probably would have been a breakout one.
Conan the Barbarian, I think that came after it, like that.
Conan was first.
Yeah,
and then I think he'd done two other films: Hercules in New York, and a few others. But Terminator was probably the breakout one.
I just like. I remember watching the very first one where, he's replacing his eye. In a hotel room, and he's putting on his glasses, and they have it's clearly like a fake head.
Doesn't look too bad.
I watched the behind the scenes. It's a cool thing. So, do you know Linda Carter who plays? Is it Linda Carter? Is her name?
Linda Carter plays
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor. Yeah.
Yeah. She actually has an identical twin, and there's a behind the scenes part where she is working on a fake head in a mirror. But on the other side, it's actually Arnold Schwarzenegger wearing like a prosthetic and her identical twin. So she's like jamming a knife into the back of the head, and the other one, the twin, is just like pretending to do it. So it like it matches up, and it's so clever.
That is so clever.
It would save a lot of time if everyone had twins.
Yeah, sure. Both twins get stabbed. Like whenever the T-1000 thing, like, you know, they obviously learned that trick for the two guards. Like, you know, must be my lucky day from Terminator 2. You know, he gets the coffee and he wins the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets
stabbed
by himself. They're twins. They're also the twins they were in Gremlins 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I love the Terminator. I don't think Frankenstein's great. I think he's overrated. I respect it. And I went to go see this thing in Edinburgh. There was like the story of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, but it was all done with shadow art. And it was incredible. Like, it was like the whole story, literally, of like, you know, drawings and sticks of like, you know, cutouts, but really ambitious, like probably like 1,000 cuts of like various things telling the story of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And she had a stillborn baby, she had a baby die a cot death. And that's when she kind of felt so, you know, lethargic and thought, right, I'm just going to write something. And then on a dare, Mary Shelley was kind of like, you know, we're going to try to write the scariest stories to tell around.
And like,
you know,
apparently Lord Byron was in the room as well. So like,
yeah, well, I don't know Anne about them. I don't really. Well, I mean, not just like, I don't really know about Shelley. They brought it up a lot on the trip when they're talking about Shelley and Lord Byron and stuff like that. I don't know who they are. I'm not a big literary nut.
You've definitely heard of Lord Byron. Ozymandias. Ever heard of him?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, it's a poem by Lord Byron. But
I am destroyer of worlds.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact word, but you've heard it. Like, it's in a lot of programs, like Breaking Bad and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know where it's. I know people who've used it, but I'm sure I'll just read it and I'll be like, it's all right.
It's really good. I'll send it on to you, but like, this is really good. I know you're on.
But I do love. I do love the whole Frankenstein thing. The Frankenstein thing is like, see, these are some that come along being like, I never thought of that before. You know, like some reanimated kind of corpse, and this idea of just playing God. And how it's not something to be meddled with, and there's a level of responsibility. It almost makes you cherish life even more, and for what it actually is, and how you actually can't recreate it, and how much kind of, you know, you need to appreciate it. But also, you know, the kind of this over the top kind of ambition to be bigger than we are. You know, it says a lot about, you know, would have been Industrial Revolution. I don't know when the fuck she wrote this, but it would have been like, we've getting fucking bigger than we are.
1967.
Even it's like, what are we getting these spinning jennies for? Why can't we just farm by hand or whatever, you know?
Jethro Tull.
Yeah, get this Jethro Tull out of here. But why don't we... but I do really like Frankenstein. I do really like him as a creature. I like the classic Frankenstein. I do like the kind of lumbering... Because he's the original zombie.
In the book. Have you read the book? Well, in the book, he has a bit more of...
You could say, have you read a book? And I'd still say no.
Oh. in the book, he is a bit more... he has a bit more personality and more... Like, he's not like a... sort of buzz.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, well... have you seen that, Mary Shelley?
I love that.
Film? Yeah, it is great.
That's a weird film like that. And
that's such a weird film, isn't it? Yeah.
Like, but it's weird the films that you just have... You've watched 100 times because you would literally watch anything that was on TV. Mm. So I've seen, like, Jack Nicholson in Wolf.
Dancing
like
with Wolves.
Like, 4 times. Dance with Wolves, Last of the Mohicans, yeah. And Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which isn't a very good film. It's mad the films that have been on the TV loads, and then you've watched them and they've been on TV, and then you look at the reviews and the reviews gave it like one star. You're like, what? But I've seen it 20 times.
Do you know what? They should do like a reboot of the Universal monster movies, but have like Jack Nicholson as the Wolfman.
Yeah,
Wolfman. And then Robert De Niro as
Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster, where he's like an elderly old man.
Look, it's classic, and I do love... You know, even the original Frankenstein movie had the whole thing of like him going off, becoming friends with the blind man.
Yeah.
It wasn't just trashy. How do we, you know, that's the thing about the Universal monster movies, apart from the Wolfman, weirdly enough, from my experiences, like even Creature from the Black Lagoon, Dracula, there's a level of sorrow, there's a level of misery, even King Kong, you know, years before, but it's this kind of like, it isn't just no. Monster means bad. Mm. There was an element of like, well, let's actually try and tell a story.
Yeah, there's a bit of subtlety about everything. It's like, yeah. It's not black and white. There is like...
Oh, they weren't black and white.
Frankenstein, he didn't ask to be created.
Didn't ask to be created. And then he's alive and all he wants to do is live. Yeah. And then they kill him.
Yeah.
He's a classic. I love him. But I prefer... I don't remember what you were talking about better.
Terminator.
Yeah.
I need a win, Tony.
It's not about that, Jago. We're just we decided to research different ones, and this is just how the cookie crumbles. The Terminator is way better.
Yeah.
It's also like my brother used to do this thing where he would like pretend to be a robot and be like, I'm actually not your brother. I'm actually a robot, and he would like choke me a little bit too hard, like as a joke, and like it was always genuinely scary when it's always, you know, because it's that whole like. When something just goes dead, when the life leaves something, but in a kind of mechanical kind of way, it's...
He just do a robot towards and choke you.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
I love it.
And you got Terry to do it now. Terminator wins.
Terminator against Werewolf.
Ooh, interesting.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Man versus Machine. Beast versus Machine.
Wow. Jack Nicholson versus Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We should rule 34 with that.
We should. I'd like to see. Jago, you're not going to like this one.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
It's the Predator.
Yeah.
Versus Alien.
Now, you said we should be short on these, but I don't think I can be.
Okay, we don't need to be short on this. We have some later ones we can be short on. Mm. The Predator versus Alien, the Xenomorph.
Yeah.
Will I go first with the Xenomorph?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. So what I love about the Xenomorph is, right, especially from the original Alien film, and I'm not a huge fan of the Alien film, the original Alien. I do like Alien, but I much prefer Aliens because I'm dumb, and I like James Cameron, and I like big fucking blockbusters, and I love what he did with it. But in the original Alien, the Xenomorph has... Do you know how much screen time the original Xenomorph has?
How much?
4 minutes.
Hey, what?
4 minutes.
Now, does that include... Like when it's a chest burster and stuff like that?
I think so.
Hmm.
I think so.
Does that scene where Sigourney Weaver's in her underwear and she's on the computer and like she's on the computer and just above her the alien's sort of chilling out and it looks like just a bunch of wires and then she reaches out and that scene was fucking unreal.
It is absolutely unbelievable. I haven't seen this, but there's a documentary about the original Dune film and apparently they, you know, Dali was meant to be in it. They got this loads of crazy art and illustrations and everything for it. And it ended up not happening. But a lot of the original artists, H.R. Giger included, were then essentially poached. Well, not poached because the film never happened. But they moved on and all that artwork essentially moved on to Alien.
Really?
Yeah. So tell you a bit about Xenomorphs. Do you want to know about Xenomorphs?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. Well, Xenomorphs are vaguely bipedal. They are also equally adept at moving on four limbs. They are capable of running, crawling on ceilings, on walls. They are expert jumpers. They have great physical strength. They have a bite strength estimated at 6,000 PSI. They do not radiate heat. Their body heat matches the ambient temperature of the environment, so they can't be seen in a kind of a thermal scope.
I looked like you threw that one, the thermal scope, because like Predator uses that a lot.
Yeah, so they can't be seen. So just to let you know,
it's like when your kid's like, "No, I'm invisible now. You can't see me."
I'm
in den.
They have a lot of several keen sense. I mean, look, they're a perfect fucking hunter
because they're designed to be the perfect.
They
hunter.
They are designed to be the perfect hunter, and it's amazing that they can lay dormant for hundreds of years just waiting, and they don't even pop. Like it is just, it's like they made a movie to make. How can we fabricate the number one natural predator?
The number one predator. Oh, you beat me. I'm not even going to explain the predator just because of that. But the thing is that, yeah, they are.
You know, I mean, it's fucking alien, man. I don't want to fucking show my hand here, but I don't know. I do not. I cannot really think of many things that I would be like, oh, yeah, well. In terms of like how we get, which we would take out of the movie monster lexicon, which would have the biggest impact, and I feel. I mean, do you know what? I was going to say, I'm actually done with Alien. Like, for what it is, I don't think it can be reused. I think Alien loses its effect. I think every movie after Alien is still trying to, like Jaws, trying to live off the original feeling that you had watching Alien. And what was the last one? Alien...
Covenant. Oh, yeah. That was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the first two Aliens were unreal. I think that they were both targeted at a different audience. Alien was a slow burner with like a bit of a thriller element to it.
And I still watch it now and I fall asleep. I can't really sit through it.
There is a lot of like...
I've been spoiled for choice.
People pressing buttons and then just be like, oh, that's odd.
But what I was really excited about with Alien Covenant was like, oh my God, we're back to the space truckers.
Yeah.
So the first like 20 minutes, it was like...
Truckers? Is that the Kevin Spacey or Dennis Hopper movie? You mean the space jockeys?
Well, like...
Idiot!
That's too loud. See, look at that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I actually peaked so much. Tony, can you do something about that?
I can't do anything about that. Listen, no, they're like... But they're space truckers. Like, they're long-haul Weyland-Yutani space truckers.
I thought you meant the actual aliens that created Xenomorph. Sorry, you're not an idiot.
Alien Covenant. I'm not talking about Prometheus.
Yeah.
But
the space jockeys are in.
I'm calling them space. I'm just saying the aesthetic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get you. Weyland-Yutani's
space truckers. Yeah. Fuck David and his fucking flute. I'm talking about the lads who are like there, these old grunts, and all they know about is a life living in solitude. They wanted to get away, and they're people who are happy to give up their time and money to go be space truckers.
There was a lot of like people I thought were going to survive in Covenant that died really quickly. And I was just like, okay, that's fair. They're like, do you know why when a horror movie starts, you're like dead, 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 whatever.
Sure.
And then I had an order in my head in which they were going. I knew they'd all die, but I had an order in which they die. And usually I'm pretty spot on with them. But this one was like, oh, that's so interesting that person died first. But that's the only part of the movie that like I was into. I was just like,
yeah.
And then,
but it as I said, that's it just loses its effect.
Mm.
Let's hear your Predator.
Now, Predator. Predator has a huge universal sort of canon that's like behind it. Like they're called different things. They're called like a Yon-Ti, Yon-Ya, and they also have this other mad name, Hush Quentin, Hush, Quentin. But anyway, they are a bipedal. I actually wrote that down there.
I love this. I love how it's like.
But they're like a hunting civilization or a species that were born on this planet, and they what they do is they hunt for sport. It's all part of culture, like their blood rites and stuff. So when they want to be a man, they go hunt. If they want to celebrate something, they go hunt. If they want to just like woo a woman, I've never seen a woman predator. Have you seen a woman predator?
I mean, I hope they look the same. Lovely hair.
Lovely hair. Yeah. So they the guy who designed the predator was actually on a plane, and who's the guy who did fucking Aliens? Sorry, my brain's
Rick Baker.
No,
H.R. Geiger?
No, the guy who directed it.
Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott was on the plane with the guy who designed the Predator, and Ridley Scott goes, I'd love to see a creature with mandibles sometime. And then the guy designed the mandibles from that. But Predator was originally going to be different. So it was actually Jean-Claude Van Damme was hired to be in the suit for Predator.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah. Like, and he was like a small sort of ninja like creature.
He's only like 50, or it's only like 5'8".
Yeah, so it's like there is like footage of. So they recorded, they filmed like half the movie, and then they decided. So the people who were in the movie, in the 1987 Predator movie. So we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. we have Carl Weathers, mm-hmm. we had
Jesse Ventura,
huge lads, and they decided it looked a bit comical. Beside Jean-Claude Van Damme in this so the creature had like a big long head. It looked like a giraffe a bit.
Yeah.
And we had to do something with this. So they ended up getting this guy who was 6'7" and he was a bodybuilder as well, just to give a bit of presence to him.
I heard they also scrapped the whole suit. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger got in touch with some of the special effects from the Terminator. Mm. And they completely redeveloped a new Predator
Yeah,
suit.
So like this a suit before was like all this like chitinous armor all around it and like this sort of like weird stuff, but then they scaled it all back to just give him a few bits of mesh everywhere and his dreadlocks and stuff. But he has blades, he can turn invisible, he can shoot beams of directed energy from his shoulder cannon. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff like, as I said, in the cannon that they are... they've been around for ages and they've been to Earth before. Like in the second movie with... I'm getting too old for this shit. Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Danny Glover. Who did I say?
Not Childish Gambino.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Danny Glover ends up going onto one of their ships and he finds like a flintlock pistol from like 1700s and stuff like that. There's also a lot as a comic book where they meet the space jockeys and the space jockeys talk about designing a creature that only they can fight, which is hinted at to be the xenomorphs.
Really?
So the space jockeys created the xenomorphs for the predators to fight.
Well, that's not true because Prometheus invented the xenomorphs.
Yeah, I know, but that's before that. Do you not remember in Covenant when they dropped the thing on the planet and killed all of them?
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
But back in the Predator, Alien versus Predator, the first one, the one Predator manages to kill over 65 aliens.
Look, it's likely that the Predator would kill an alien.
Yeah.
But I could write a character that could shit on the Predator.
What would you call it?
Eradicator.
Yeah.
The Wiper. But like, you can do that. We know what we know what's better.
Yeah, fuck it. It's the alien.
You know what's better.
It's the xenomorph.
It is a xenomorph. The xenomorph is like a shark. It's an alien shark. And that is a perfect, across millennia, killing machine. It cannot evolve better than what it has.
But it was created. It wasn't evolved.
I don't buy that shit. I don't buy that shit. This is what pisses me off about any kind of prequel, okay? Especially Solo, Han Solo. It's like, don't tell me things, don't answer questions I never had questions for. And don't explain something that makes it worse. And don't have anything that's, you know, kind of a conflict resolution before the film where they have the big conflict resolution and they overcome and they decide, I'm actually not a swindler. I can maybe find a focus like the Rebel Alliance. Maybe I'm not such a bad guy after all. Why do we need to see that at the end of fucking Solo?
Yeah, exactly. So like this, his trajectory, he was like a low life and then he went up and then now he's back down being a low life.
It doesn't make any sense.
Midichlorians.
Xenomorph. Come on, Xenomorph.
Xenomorph.
But I mean, it's a shame because I honestly think that I would have Predator beaten Regan. I'd have Predator beaten Gremlins. I'd have Predator probably beaten everyone else in this, including the Blair Witch.
That was a good matchup, though, I have to say.
It is. It's a shame that's not in the final. okay, next up. Freddy Krueger versus the Balrog.
This is such a fucking mad one.
I know. Do you want to hear about Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, hit me.
What I love about Freddy Krueger is he's just fucked, man. He's just fucked. Like, this is a level of, like, this is a level of, like, what is a horror film now? Like, what's a slasher? Like, it's so, his origin story is just so fucked up, right? So his mother is Amanda Krueger, a nun who worked at Hathaway House, an asylum for the criminally insane. She accidentally was locked in a room where 100 maniacs were housed, and they raped her repeatedly, and she was barely alive and then found pregnant. She gave birth to Freddy Krueger, who was then placed in the support of an alcoholic, abusive stepfather called Mr. Underwood. He was bullied for years because of this whole 100 maniacs thing. They always called him the son of 100 maniacs. And he used to cut himself and, you know, for pleasure. And he actually used his kind of shaving razor to kill his stepfather, Mr. Underwood. As an adult then, he worked in a local power plant, raised a daughter, he had a loving wife. But behind all that, he was fucking twisted. He was molesting kids. He was killing kids down in his boiler room. He had this fucking, like proper serial killer stuff. Then he killed around 20 children before he was arrested. And because the arrest warrant was signed in the wrong place and the judge was drunk at the time of the proceeding, Krueger was released, and the townsfolk then, furious, took the law into their hands. They doused him in gasoline, they set him on fire, and while the building was burning, he apparently he was approached by dream demons. But aside from that, if you just look at the curse side of things, he says, I'm going to get after your fucking kids in the one place you can't save them, in their dreams. I think he's better than Pennywise for me. Even though I'm not a big Nightmare on Elm Street fan, I think the first one's amazing. I love it. Love
first
Johnny
one,
Depp in it.
Yeah, first one is so good. Like, like as you said, later on, it gets so fucking like convoluted. Like, yeah. The only way to kill him is to speak to this demon and make a bargain with
not
this demon.
Interested.
Like.
Not interested. Not interested.
Good thing about him is, like, in the remake, it was a big, like, I really like the remake. It's not often that I like remakes, but this one, so the whole way through, it's the same sort of scenario. So he's a dream killer. I'm going to spoil this for you, I don't care. He's a dream killer, whatever. And at the end, like, it comes...
Skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to have
I'll do it
for you.
So well, I'll make this noise when I've done. So they, the whole movie, they're like, oh, you molest loads of kids. And then it turns out he didn't molest loads of kids, and you're like, oh my god, he was just killed by all these people. And then you're like, oh fuck, that's really actually sad. You actually feel a bit sorry for him.
It's a great twist.
And then they find the secret room with all the kiddie photos where he was molesting kids.
Oh no.
So
way.
It's another twist again. So
wow.
It's
that's
just
like capturing the Friedmans.
Yeah. What's the name of the actor in it? Who played Rorschach? What was his name?
Oh yeah, your man.
Harley Earl Roll Jones.
Earl Haley.
Yeah, we could. Anyway,
Great Balls of Fire.
Thank you. If they weren't
that
listening,
was
to
that,
yeah,
was a different noise.
But he does get to go as the movie the sort of movies progress. He gets more like comedic in his performance. Like when he smashes a girl's head into he turns into a TV, grabs her head and smashes it into it. And he's like, "Prime time, bitch!"
Oh god, yeah. When he does the whole bitch things,
yeah.
You're too close to that.
Oh, sorry. Oh, fucking hell, yeah, I'm peeking, sorry. Can you
hear me? All right. Hey, what are you, Billy Killian Murphy here?
Peeking blinders.
So, yeah, Freddy Krueger versus...
the Balrog.
The Balrog
is such
from
a weird combination.
Sorry. From the Lord of the Rings.
The Balrog...
it's not the Balrog, but go on.
The Balrog. So the Balrog was created in
Balrog versus Predator.
The Balrog was formless, shapeless demon, covered in fire.
Is it quad or bipedal?
Okay, it could be whatever you want, Tony. It was created by the godlike Emir called Melkor.
Okay.
A corrupted angel, basically, in this universe. So the same thing with orcs. Orcs were corrupted elves in Lord of the Rings. They were tortured until they became them. It's pure. It's based on pure ferocity. All it wants to do is attack. It can usually carry a lot of weapons. Now, in the original,
it's a cowboy, isn't it?
cowboy. Oh yeah, it has a whip, a multi-pronged whip. But in the original book, the way they describe it, it makes it seem like very like cannon fodder. Like there's loads of them, and they can be killed pretty easily. But as the books progressed, so there's Smilerion or whatever the fuck it's called, and then it went up into the Lord of the Rings. Samarillion, that's it. And then it was Samarillion.
Samarillion.
That's the guy who tastes wine, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it comes to Lord of the Rings, and then Gandalf fights one. Apparently, this is just one big badass one or whatever.
Really? So hang on, if he has a whip, he must have to put that whip somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
No, but things that they're these huge forms of fire, so I assume it just sort of blends into his body.
But like I picture him going home and like, you know, tying it up like a extension lead, just hanging it up.
Apparently there's some war, and then all the Balrogs were thrown into the middle of the earth, like the earth's core. Mm. But then the dwarves got greedy. They dug too deep. Mm. And then they dug down and got this.
Oh, guard. That's fun.
Yeah, so when he was fighting Gandalf, so Gandalf smashed the bridge and said, "Fly, you fools." Mm-hmm. And then he fell into a lake at the bottom of that pit.
And he turned, didn't pass.
And he didn't pass. And what happened was he turned into a big slime monster.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So this is
canon?
Yeah, this is canon. This is in the book. So he turned into a big slime monster, and then Gandalf fought him as a slime monster. And as Gandalf got the upper hand, he ran away for 8 days, and Gandalf chased after him for 8 days. And then they climbed to the top of a mountain, and Gandalf fought him for 2 days there. He died. And then the Balrog, he actually has a name. He's called...
Bilrog.
Bill. My name's Bilrog Accounting.
Yeah.
But they fought, and then he died. Gandalf died as well, but Gandalf came back as Gandalf the White. It just seems like that they... I like the Balrog, but I think the Balrog is a very situational guy.
Mm.
Like, you have to dig him up. You have to fight him in this sense. He's not in your dreams.
No.
He doesn't make any comments. Like, he doesn't say bitch
doesn't
once.
Say bitch.
Once.
Yeah.
I watched Lord of the Rings a couple of times just to see if he said bitch, but...
Does he not shout at Samwise, "Fuck off, bitch"?
You know, "You little potato bitch.
Fuck off, you potato bitch.
You little potato bitch, look at me. Kiss me. Kiss me, Willie. Kiss me while I whip you.
Kiss me while I whip you, little fucking bitch."
Yeah, sorry, it's Freddy Krueger. I lost interest in Balrog. So
I know,
quickly.
But thank you.
I have so
that.
Many notes about it as
thank
well.
Thank you. Okay, so you've got the werewolf versus Terminator. You've got the Xenomorph versus Freddy Krueger.
That's good because do Xenomorphs dream of electric sheep?
Okay, next up we have the Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth versus The Thing.
Hey!
From The Thing. Okay, we're going to have to steamroll through the last three. We have three after this.
Three after this?
After this.
Okay.
Give this the time that it deserves. We're talking about The Thing here.
Yeah.
Jago, would you like to start or will I? I'll say a few little. I keep smacking this. I shouldn't be. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing this.
Stop doing it.
Okay, the Pale Man. The Pale Man is from Pan's Labyrinth. I fucking love just the design of this. Mm. Guillermo del Toro is such a crafter in monsters. He was on a podcast and he was talking about how monsters, the best way to create a monster is to think about what the monster has to live when you don't see it. And most monsters are made on the faces that on the basis that they only exist on the silver screen. So you don't even see this in The Pale Man. The Pale Man, you might remember from Pan's Labyrinth if you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you do. Which is this kind of like old man body, but he doesn't have eyes, but he sees through his hands. So, you know, it's almost like he, you know, feasts with his eyes or whatever like that, with his hands. But he's got these visible nostrils, this mouth similar to that of a manta ray. The whole thing is he eats children. He also eats fairies. And he puts his eyes in his sockets rather than his face. And he basically sits at this table and sits calmly and slumbers while there's so much food and drink there that no one's allowed to eat. So you have this starving child who goes in to do this, and the fawn is like, you cannot eat anything, otherwise the pale man will get you. But the whole thing is like he has these rolls of extra skin that kind of looks like he's this engorging fat man who is just not feasted in like hundreds of thousands of years. You've just been sitting there just staring, waiting for someone to tempt it, and the level of greed. So there's like so much going on here. He's only even in this for a second. He's a set piece of Pan's Labyrinth, but he leaves a lasting imprint, and the whole again, Doug Jones, you were talking about, the Hocus Pocus. He is the man, and he's the Fawn. Great costume actor, Doug Jones. Doug Jones? I think it's Doug Jones.
Yeah, 100%. It's Doug. He's in Hellboy as well.
And Hellboy,
yeah.
Look, he makes a big impact in a short amount of time. Mm. I like the Pale Man. I think he's one of the best monsters of all time.
He is. I'd say he's in the movie less than 10 minutes, but he's just like, he's in such... He's so such an effective monster.
The character design is
outstanding.
Without even explaining things, like without explaining where the rolls of fat come from or the rolls of skin, you know, just no eyes. It's the same thing that you have. It's a similar thing that you have with Alien, where it's like when you can't get the emotion, like why Mike, you know, the mask of the serial killer, when that is taken away from you and all you are is the, you know, being killed. Like you don't know even the emotion of the person who's fucking killing you. You know, the xenomorph has got no eyes, can't emote. And I think you get a similar vibe with the fucking hands and the eyes, and it's just a creepy thing.
Mm.
But he's not fighting alone, is he?
No.
Sorry. Okay, tell us why you love the thing.
As I've explained to my dad, but that's when we used to record it, I remember watching this movie, and I think I watched it with him, and I watched it with a couple of people. Like, the thing just blew my mind. It was such a terrifying movie. Now, so I'll go into some things there. So basically, it's based on a 1952 novella. It's based on a 1938 novella called by John Campbell Jr. Who Goes There? It's the same sort of story, but then it was made into a movie in 1951 called The Thing from Outer Space, and you should watch that just for a little bit. Laugh.
Really?
Yeah, he looks like Frankenstein. He walks into the room and he's like, but then it was made in 1982. Obviously, John Carpenter. It was voted one of the most horrific and boring movies of that year by loads of people. And then it became, through the VHS sort of expanding... Oh, sorry, the video recorder.
Yeah.
It became a thing that it picked up a cult following and then obviously exploded into its phenomenon that it is today. So the thing is basically a shape-shifting parasitic extraterrestrial life form that was found in Antarctica and it was dug up. What happens is it'll infect an organism and then become the organism, absorb its memories and its wants and desires and become a perfect replica of it until the moment it needs to feed or infect someone else. There is a lot of... It fucking bombed in the cinema because it came out at the exact same time as E.T. So it's just like, oh, do you want to see a cute Barrymore, Drew Barrymore, or do you want to see...
or a good alien or a bad alien.
Exactly. So a lot of kids saw or whatever. Like, but a lot of people said it was... because it's all men in it.
Mm.
People are saying that it's a lot of like homophobia about it. It's just like the AIDS crisis was going on at this time. So
that's very interesting.
Yeah, so I read this.
And not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, and
inside.
Even the scene with the blood, like, so.
Yeah, fucking hell.
So what they do is to try and figure out which creature it was, because each cell is in the is basically has its own sort of brain. So if you cut it, its blood would react and stuff. So what they do is they take blood tests from everyone and they put a hot needle into the blood to see how it will react. And eventually one does foam up and try and run away from the hot needle. But this has been seen as like an anti-AIDS movie and just like everyone's afraid of AIDS and stuff. The movie ends with two characters, MacReady and Childs, outside. And it's very ambiguous whether any of them are infected. Now, I actually... wrote an essay on what I think had happened at the end of this movie. So a lot of the characters are subtly lit that their eyes show reflections from the lights if they're not infected. And at the end, one of the characters, I'm not going to spoil it, one of the characters doesn't have a light in their eye, and when they breathe out, there's no condensation. Yeah. So it's said that this is it, but the people who actually made the movie said that wasn't what we wanted, and it was just a malfunction in some sort of heating machine, and it was too hot for it to do it. But the thing has spawned so... It's such a pop culture, like, it's so deeply ingrained, like people will use it in just like a meme setting, like, oh, they've been replaced by the thing and stuff like that. Now, the sequels and the prequels are just a bit shite, but the video game I played was sort of based off Resident Evil. Is also one of my scariest video games ever.
Really?
Played.
Is it good?
It's good, yeah. You play, James, my friend James, played it so much. He always used to text me, like, man, did you get the fucking flame jar in it? It's great. Thing, if you haven't seen The Thing, I'd want you to go out and watch it today.
It's probably one of my favorite horror films of all time. Yeah, it's The Thing. Also, the fact that it's kind of like this, the thing could be anything.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a shapeshifter, because it morphs. Just the effects of like the tearing off of the head.
There's a scene where they try and do chest compressions on the guy that thinks having a heart attack, and the guy's chest opens up into a mouth.
Mm.
The character whose arms get bitten off has no arms. He lost them in an accident. So for the first half of the movie, he's wearing fake arms, and I didn't realize that. So I go back and see it, and he's just standing around like this with fake arms. Sorry, I'm just in a really stiff motion.
I didn't realize that.
It is like. As I said, it's one of the best movies. If you haven't seen it, see it now. Go see it now.
I will give it to The Thing.
You?
Of course, 100%. The Thing will compete in the quarterfinals against either The Babadook or Al Pacino from The Devil's Advocate.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Babadook, budget Australian movie. Absolutely unreal. Love it. It's have you seen it? Have you?
I've not seen it.
It's such a fucking good psychological thriller. So basically, this mother is pregnant and she's driving along with her husband, and they get into a car crash, and the husband unfortunately passes away in the car crash, and she's left to raise the kid. So she raises the kid. The kid gets to a certain age and then receives a book. And the book is about this man called creature called the Babadook. And now the thing about the Babadook is, if you believe in it, the more you believe in it. The more you try to avoid it, the more it exists.
Wow.
So there's a lot of scenes of them like denying it exists, and it becomes stronger and bigger. And it's basically like it's a really weird creature design. So it's like basically a man in white makeup with like weird lips and like black clothing on him, and he's always in corners and it's just like really sort of like spooky. But it's a very good movie. It's basically, the Babadook represents grief about the fact that if you keep denying it, it's going to hurt you more than when it actually happens. But the one thing I love about Babadook is how it became an LGBTQ icon.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if this is true or not, but basically there was an algorithm was wrong in Netflix, and it came up, if you search LGBTQ movies, the Babadook was the first response that came up. So people went into that and it became a Tumblr thing. And now the person who created it, like I said, the Babadook is an icon. And there was a lot in Gay Pride around that year. Mm. There was a lot of Babadook posters and people dressing up like the Babadook in like multicolored gear. Like the special edition of the Babadook DVD was a rainbow pride flag with the Babadook on it. It's one of the most effective modern monsters I've seen in movies. Like the look might be the best, but the story is really good, and it's very effective. You should check it out. And also, the mother tries to kill the kid a few times.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah,
no spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
It sounds great. I'm very interested in seeing it. But it is up against. The Devil.
Yeah.
The Devil. Al Pacino, The Devil, a.k.a. John Milton from The Devil's Advocate, 1997 film.
Mm.
Others considered for the role, Richard Gere and Kevin Spacey. What I really love about this is it's not even a horror film. Look, it's not a horror
That's
film.
That's exactly so. Oh, sorry, go ahead. You were going to say.
But I just love the fact that he... Like, you have other films that have actually been sacrilegious for showing, which are like, you know, The Exorcist, The Life of Brian, which is like poking fun, and The Exorcist is like having an actual demon in it. This movie, like, outright, like, dispels the idea of God, or that God has any kind of control over morality. You know, it's just like, it's not even the fact that the devil just kind of sits by and watches everything and kind of enables it, but doesn't actually cause it himself, but kind of like that evil itself is the freedom. The other thing is kind of confined to, you know, the, what is it? The fucking Adam and Eve. What's it called? The
original sin.
Eden.
Yeah.
Whatever. Garden of Eden.
Jesus. Good Catholic boys.
But let me tell you some of the devil's powers, right?
You just go straight to the monster.
Omniscience, immortality, invulnerability, advanced regeneration, Immunity can be, you know, whatever. Vessel angelic possession. Biokinesis. Chronokinesis. Maybe you can move forward and backward in time. Look, it goes on. There's actually fucking loads. It's like literally A to Z, and there's 20 A's and 20 Z's. But I've been told that Babadook's great.
No, I do like the movie. The whole movie is basically, you know, something's up with him. Obviously, because the movie's called The Devil's Advocate. But
yeah.
There is sort of a subtle that, like, your descent into like no morality or bad morality can be just a gradual descent rather than a, so like he wins one case and he doesn't know how he won the case, but he didn't stick by his morals and he went a bit like found some bad evidence or whatever.
But the fact that you can be rewarded in this life in the short term for doing this, and the fact that he's kind of like just the whole thing where it's just that brazenly encouraging. Like it's so it gets a bit fucked up where he's all like, "This is your sister," and fucking ride your sister, but she looks unreal. So you know, not that I would. The devil wins. Okay, we're over time. Right, quick last two. Right, Pinhead versus Patrick Swayze.
Oh,
go.
Fuck. I've got a law for the Pinhead.
Okay,
sorry, man. So Pinhead, if you haven't seen it, we've talked about it before, Hellraiser, is Dr. Paul Gregory originally, also known as the Hell Priest or the Anti-God. He is a creature that lives in an extra dimension who is accessed by this thing called a lament configuration, which is a box that if you want to see him so much that you do it, it will automatically let you see him. Now, what his thing, what his vibe is, what his mise-en-scène is, he is all about the extremes of human emotions, like pain, fear, suffering. When asked, is he an angel or a demon, he says he's both to different people. So, like, if people don't want to be hurt, then he's a demon, but if people want to just go to absolute extremes, like BME, Pain Olympics, he'll be the man. Like, there's a lot of movies, but I want to talk about the first Hellraiser.
Sure.
The original idea, yeah, it's a slow burner, like, so basically, some guy has shell shock, he spends his whole life traveling around doing a lot of drugs and decides that he wants more. He finds his lament creation, makes a deal with loads of demons, and he turns himself into this creature with pins in his head and creates this box called lament configuration. It's all about just the excesses of ecstasy. It's about moderation, to be fair. If you do something bad, if you do something bad or good and you go too far, it's always going to end up in a bad trip, you know what I mean, like that. He's one of the most, Clive Barker made him, and I think he's one of, or Clive Baker, whatever he said.
Barker, I think.
Barker. But he's one of the most iconic horror villains in history.
What can he do? Is he a conjurer of nightmares?
He's same as
is
the
he
devil.
Just kind of like from a different, just this beast from a different dimension?
He's a man. He's from this, as I said, extra dimension that is just outside our dimension. He can, in his dimension, which he can sort of leak into our world, he can do anything he wants. He can summon chains out of thin air to pierce people's skin. He can have someone torn apart, but each individual body part is still alive, and he can put them on these pillars. It's just in the later movies that go along. So in the first movie, he's very, he's not bad or good. He just is. But as the movies progress, they sort of ran out of storyline, and he become like a proper demon. And he just wants to hurt people.
Sounds like he's been playing too much bloody Mortal Kombat.
It's like, come here to me, I'm Pinhead.
Yeah.
No, but in the first one, I suggest watching the first one. If you're gonna watch it, just be like, I get it. Like, I understand, like, that people, some people are into stuff that might hurt them. And some people are, and like, think it's the most disgusting thing in the world, you know? Like, it's this, he's a guy, as he said, he's an angel to some and a demon to others, you know what I mean? It's just, there is a sort of an underlying thing of, like, being influenced by an outside people, but I don't know. I think Pin, like, you, he's such an iconic figure, though. It's even
well,
his look.
Let me put a pin in that and say, Patrick Swayze in Ghost. I don't even know the name of the actual character. But this is what he can do. He can move pennies up walls, if you recall.
I do.
He can speak exclusively to Whoopi Goldberg. He can type on computers and make people freak out who are in like the stock exchange. He's a sexy guy.
He's a sexy guy.
He's a sexy guy. He's a good looking guy. He's got the power of getting Demi Moore in her prime. Mm. He's got great taste in music. He loves the
and he goes Brothers. Right up my growler.
And he goes, and it's up my, and it's fucking big. Patrick Swayze in Ghost. No, I have nothing to say. I don't know. I put it in here thinking I'd have something to say. It would make sense if he was up against, I don't know, the Balrog. But
he is. I'm not gonna lie. It's a loss for you, Tony.
This is not a competition.
Pinhead,
congratulations, you are through. Last scrap of the night.
It's actually a big one.
This is a huge one. We got Bruce the Shark versus the fucking T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
I will start with the T-Rex.
Here we go.
The T-Rex is 40 foot tall.
Bipedal?
Bipedal. Well, and keep in mind, Jaws is only 25 feet. The T-Rex is a theropod dinosaur. Who actually, this is the only thing I googled. Sorry. Because you know what a T-Rex is. You know what a fucking T-Rex is. And it's a fantastic, like, I mean, the iconic scene of doom, doom, and the water. And just how to have something in the dark, but massive. Like, the scale. Like, imagine it was like, how, like, before Jurassic Park, you were like, how would you write a horror scene with a T-Rex? And to make it still mysterious and chilling and as terrifying as it is, and like, he just desperate, like talking about the fucking Terminator, like just smashing it, trying to get into the car, shining the light, his eye fucking dilates, the fact that the size of it you can feel in the earth before he even comes. But the thing I googled was bipedal dinosaurs swam very long distances and could hold their own in water. So what would you like to tell me about Bruce, your fucking
you're
shark?
Talking about, like, you can't see the threat, and then, like, it's scary because you can sort of hear it. And like,
so yeah.
Well, that's what he stole from Jaws, from Bruce, by the way.
It's his own film.
No, I think that there's a lot.
It's his own film. He can do whatever he wants.
No,
They're both his own films.
I think that the T-Rex in Jurassic Park owes a lot, should reverence
It
Jaws.
Doesn't at all, because it's always on screen.
No, there's a. What about you? Literally just said you don't see it in the
dark.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So Jaws.
Jaws is dumb. Bruce knows. Or no, hang on. Bruce is the shark.
Bruce is the shark in Jaws.
T-Rex is smart.
So yeah, it's supposed to be a mutant great white shark, about 25 feet long. The largest shark was only ever recorded was 23 feet long though, so it is like sort of a made up shark or whatever. It has a very low kill count, though. I didn't even think about this. It's like, there's only about 75. Yeah. But the thing about it, in fact, is, as you said, it's in the dark and you can't see. And then
stop
it's
acting like eye, a fucking stoner.
And then it's eye dilates.
Why act like I'm fucking, like, straight out of fucking Donnybrook Fair stoner department?
Today, you've said Donnybrook Fair twice to me.
No, you listened to my podcast.
Oh, fuck, that what it was. Yeah. But I do like Jaws. It's only six deaths in Jaws.
Yeah.
It's not the... whenever I think about Jaws, I'm always like, oh, man, loads of people died and everyone died.
Yeah.
As I said, it's 25 feet tall, which is fucking massive. 25 feet. I know it's smaller than Jurassic Park. Who'd win in a fight in water? T-Rex?
In water, a shark would beat a T-Rex.
Yeah.
But it would be no competition on land, and... it would be like a shark could do fuck all on land. A T-Rex could do damage in the water.
Yeah.
But if you were to remove from the monster lexicon, the film lexicon, one monster, Jaws has a far... You're terrified of the water. There are two places, land and the water. It's a movie that even 40, 50 years later still makes you be like, oh, what's down there? And, you know, did people even have that before?
There's a lot of sort of people do, like, oh, Jaws made you afraid of the water. And, like, Graboid, Tremors is going to make you afraid of sand. And
The Ring made you afraid of videos.
Yeah. So it's that sort of thing. It's, like, always referred back to. Wasn't it it's something crazy that, like, beach goers during the year that Jaws was released, like, it dropped down to the lowest it's ever been before? Like there was only really? Like 10% of what that you people usually don't. Because even in places where sharks couldn't live, people weren't going to the sea. I can imagine that coming out in Ireland and people like, oh, I'm not going into Donabay. I'm going to get bit in the arse.
Double Q out there.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Look, it's Bruce the shark.
It's Bruce.
As much as I respect the T-Rex, it is Bruce the shark.
So Bruce the shark obviously dies in Jaws, spoiler alert. But he is followed up by Brucette, his mate, and Revenge is the name of his son. In the with Michael Caine.
Revenge is the name of his son.
Yeah, I don't know if he named him. I don't think he did
for Jaws 3D.
Yeah, and then Michael Caine in it. Michael Caine's famous quote from that is like, "I've never seen that movie, but I've seen the house that it built."
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he hated it. He's so shit. So that's.
This is very interesting, Mark Jago. These are the scraps for the quarter final. Mm. We have the werewolf from American Werewolf in London versus the Terminator. We have the Xenomorph versus Freddy Krueger. We have the Thing versus Al Pacino, which was, we both gave up on that one. We have Pinhead versus Jaws. This is fucking wild. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to rewatch all these films, I think, for the quarterfinals.
Send the list on to me and I'm going to watch them as well.
Let's do it. Jago, very exciting times. Very exciting quarterfinal. I don't know.
We've got a lot on. So next two episodes, we actually are going to have some freak encounters coming up.
Yes, so please do send on your freak encounters. We can't talk about the same monsters again. So please do help us with the filler. That is your beautiful freak encounters, and we'll put them at the end of the show. Times you came in contact with something weird from the supernatural world.
Yeah, so as I said, we're going to be talking about the same creatures again, but we're going to throw a little spice into Come on, a little bit of pump.
This has been Sexy Beast. See you next week.
Sexy Beast, you're just so sexy.
Well, hang on. That's
Sexy Beast.
You got that sexy beast. You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness Monster? Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's a Wendigo. Hey, come on after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a Bigfoot dick you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and a Loch Ness Monster, pussy. Baby, sexy beast.
This has been a Podstuff. Are you
Podstuff heads. Oh, sorry. Never.
Man, you're so aggressive.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.